The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Sports on-air programming. Let's see. I'm doing a professional broadcast here. I know it's not to 97.5, but I'm still doing this. I'm on the air. The blue button. I'm on the air. So, Todd is a masterful manager because he knows the best thing to do is give me bad news right before I go on air. He knows that that's what's going to make me hate his guts. And that's what he did. He came in and said, hey, there was a power surge at the 97.5 tower. The AC's out there, so internal temperature got really hot, and we had to shut 97.5 down until our engineer can get out there and take care of the problem. And I said, well, what's that mean? And he said, we're not on 97.5 for at least an hour, probably more. And then he said, but the good news is, we are on 94.1, but that's not really news because we're on 94.1 every day.
Now people have to actually try 94.1 if they haven't.
I guess, but that's not like, that's not good news. Couldn't they have turned the AC off when Joel and Barry's show is on when there's less listeners and then just crank it back up when my show starts?
I don't think that's how it worked.
That's how it should work. That makes
sense. Are you
and
Barry friends?
Yeah, we're friends.
I mean, I hear you're friends.
Yeah.
Does he take umbrage with you taking those shots?
How's that taking a shot?
Well, like when they have less listeners.
That's a statistical fact.
Well, I mean, do they like that you bring that statistical fact up?
I mean, I'm sure they're not going to bring it up, but I don't think they're going to, slash my tires because I said it.
Not yet.
No.
Maybe yet.
Oh, I mean, it could happen eventually.
Give it time.
It could happen eventually. But no,
if your ratings drop below theirs, do you think you'll hear about it on the air?
Of course.
Do you know Nick Wright to this day? Like, he won't talk to me because he came into this market and I went the number one. And I'm like, and then he just started shooting shots at me on Twitter for no reason at all.
Were you guys at the same station?
No.
Oh, were you guys competing?
No, he was in the afternoon show, and I was in the morning. And it's just like, that's his thing. Come in, start some static with another rival or whatever. And then, so we went back and forth one day on Twitter.
He's one of the guys I wish would have started up with me.
We went back and forth, and then we talked after, like, Bomani Jones wanted us to talk and hash things out. Because I guess, I know Bomani a little bit, and he was friends with Nick Wright. And anyway, so we talked one day after a Texans practice, and then we did some Root Sports stuff together. They had us both in hosting, and everything was relatively fine, I guess. And then he came on in the morning and he started winning ratings, but then he lost for about like a year and a half straight, to us in the morning. And I don't say laid him out, but I took a pretty good poke about ratings, about talking all that stuff whenever at one point, but then, comes back, chickens come back to roost.
Of course.
And he didn't like that too much. He didn't like the fact that I put it back out
there. So you're saying...
He thought we had squash, and I'm like, squash? Well, I didn't have a chance to
get... So he's a front runner.
Well, I didn't get a chance to shoot my bullets.
Yeah, you didn't get a chance to toot your horn.
Yeah, I had some bullets on the
Were you
chamber.
Number one when that happened?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you should have been able
to
toot.
Yeah, for over a year and a half, I just shot my bullets, and I just one time. I just want to get my shots off, that's all. It's no big deal. It's all in good fun. Got a little upset by it. He was calling me while I was at Cirque du Soleil with my kids and my wife. I couldn't answer, so he got all offended that I was avoiding him or something like that. It was just stupid.
And now you guys still don't talk?
I think, I don't know this for a fact, but I think he may have prevented me from going on with Colin Cowherd this year.
Because
I was on last year with Colin Cowherd, where now Nick's more prominent on Fox Sports 1. And I was going to be on with Cowherd, and then they never called whenever I was in town. So, I don't know. There may be something or may not.
I don't get the, I don't get Nick Wright. I don't get the appeal of a guy like him.
Controversial. Says some things a lot of people really like. Takes a strong side on one side of issues that make their people...
That make people uncomfortable?
Well,
he's, like, is that like Clay Travis?
Like the LeBron stuff. Yeah, in a way. Different sides of it. But yeah, like the LeBron stuff, right? He's a big LeBron honk. Well, if you're a LeBron fan, that's your guy. Because he researches stuff. He gives you these stats. He says it.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good orator. You know, he's like, yeah, he's the voice of me and my generation, the LeBron generation. Like, great. Like, you guys are obnoxious enough. I don't think you need help. But, you know, and then people will love him or hate him for that.
Yeah.
But Nick always knew. He wanted people to love him or hate him here. He didn't care. He brought up
one
gun
or the other.
Control issues. You're bringing up gun control issues on a sports talk show in Houston.
Right.
Like, and John Lopez is just sitting there, hey, you're crushing my career. Our ratings are going down the toilet. The whole time Nick had his eyes on bigger things. He's like, right. If I take a stance on social justice and this, I'm going to go on to bigger and better things, you know, because I'm the controversial guy. And he didn't care. And then John Lopez is like, hey, we're not number one anymore. No, you're John killing Lopez our ratings.
That was his move. I heard...
Can't stay out of the way of anybody.
I heard Clay Travis one time, and this is when I was like, God, I don't like Clay Travis. I normally don't. I almost never hear other sports talk shows, but I was in the car with a friend where I wasn't driving. Like, in my car, I don't listen to sports talk radio. I just don't.
I don't much anymore. I do from time to time. I used to, but... I'm around it, man. I listen to my own
you
iTunes.
You hear enough, right?
Yeah, I do.
So here's something about me. Before I started in sports radio 14 years ago, I'd never listened to day one of sports talk radio.
Never.
I'd never heard the Jim Rome show. I'd never heard the Dan Patrick show.
Where were you? In Austin?
Austin.
You didn't listen to anything locally?
No.
Okay.
I just didn't care for it.
Were you a Longhorn fan?
I grew up, like, as a kid, I was a Longhorn
fan. You didn't seek out any kind of Longhorn talk during National Signing Day or something like that?
No, because I'm not that kind of fan.
All right.
I'm not the kind of fan who, like, worries about things like that. Like, I mean...
Talent?
If it pops up in the newspaper or online,
I'm not a National Signing Day guy either, but I'm not a, like, I don't have a team that I... You know what my team is? Whoever is plus or minus for that particular
Saturday.
That's
my life, yeah.
I'm a Ronin.
I'm team that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Ronan. My teams can change from half to half.
So for me, the kind of fan I am.
Team no score or team score a lot?
Yeah. I'm either team gamble or I like certain players and I'll cheer for that player regardless of what color shirt they're wearing.
Okay. So you get the LeBron like rolling around from team to team with LeBron?
I'm a LeBron fan. I've enjoyed watching the Cavs. I'll enjoy watching the Lakers because LeBron's there. I don't care about what color your shirt is, what city name is on the front. I like guys I can get behind, I can cheer for, which is why when I was a kid, I was a massive Rockets fan because I loved Hakeem. I loved Clyde. I mean, I loved Vernon Maxwell. I loved all these guys. Otis Thorpe, even. Like, I was a big fan
of these
guys.
Did you stay Rockets fan in 2000s?
I mean, by then I was kind of more of the I don't really care about any teams guy.
Gambling does ruin your perspective.
Yeah,
your fandom it skews it.
But like T-Mac Yao Rockets, I enjoyed those teams more than Steve Francis, Katino Mobley.
Same.
Rockets. I don't like this iteration of the Rockets because I'm not a James Harden fan. Like, James Harden, to me, is a very difficult player to cheer for. I don't like to watch him play. I don't like his off-court persona. So I find myself not cheering for the Rockets. I don't find myself cheering against them unless I bet on them or unless I bet against them. But, if I'm watching a game with no salt in the game, I've got nothing on it, mm-hmm. I don't like, I can't wait for the Rockets to play because I just don't enjoy watching him play. So
I get that.
I'm either like I like certain players and not necessarily the team that they play for, or I'm cheering for whoever I've got money on.
So you're also a sniper.
Yeah.
You're a sports sniper.
Yeah, I jump around.
I get it. See,
I'm not loyal to any teams.
No, part of me feels bad because, see, I do believe in, like, I do believe it's more fun when you have a team that takes you on ups and downs emotionally. Like, you're jaded. Like, you're dead inside a little bit, AJ.
More than a little bit.
Yeah. You're dead inside. You're numb to life.
Well, to sports life, yes.
Yes. And in some ways, I am too.
So there's no team that if they win or lose on any given day, that it affects my mood.
So I've been there with the Astros in their World Series run.
Mm-hmm.
It would affect my mood. I would say I've been there with the Rockets. I've still been there with Texans. Like, they haven't been as likable, frankly, the last few years, even with some really good players and everything, because they just haven't played to that level. But Deshaun might be able to change that. Now, I had family stuff. My dad was coaching for the Arizona Cardinals. So that's easy to get into. You have a cheering interest when a family member is coaching or playing for a team. That's easy, right? That's easy. But I still do think it. You remember when you were a hardcore fan of the Rockets? Your highs were higher and your lows were lower when you were just a hardcore fan, right?
I guess so. I mean, I was a kid. So, like,
so everything's higher.
Everything's high and low when you're a kid.
But it was fun, though.
Yeah. The thing that's weird to me now, like, I have grown friends who are some in their 40s. And if the Texans lose a football game, they're shutting down for the weekend.
But,
like,
that's in a lot of cities.
They're rude.
That's in a lot of cities.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I just think that's weird in general. I think that's, like, you're too committed to that life. Like, it's... Like, for me, like, if my kid was in the hospital, I feel like that would change my day-to-day mood. Like, a football team losing a game, it registers to me, and then I just move on. Because I'm not on the team.
Yes, but you know that you're in some ways in the minority, right?
I do know that.
Okay.
Yeah, I absolutely know that. But I still think it's weird. I mean,
you understand that
I'm sure white people do things that black people think are weird.
Yeah,
like we let our dogs kiss us on the face, and black people are like, "What the hell?" I mean, they're in the minority on that.
Okay,
but it still can be considered weird.
But you're a sports talk host with that thought. Like, Charlie is devoid of emotion.
Does he not have a favorite team?
Well, it's probably Yankees, but he's not going to let you know.
Okay.
He's from New York. But he can just take, and this is forever, since I've listened to Charlie forever, it's right down the middle. Here's the honest opinion. It's devoid of emotion. And, I mean, it's logical. It makes sense. But the people you're talking to, a lot of them are lunatics. A lot of the people you're listening, you understand that the people you're talking to right now
are mostly
crazy.
A lot
of them are not AJ.
Right.
They're going to be more, I don't know who the person would be at the station, but you know, they're going to be more
Granado.
Super fan. Yeah, to an extent.
Yeah, Granado's John, super fan
I think
guy.
John really likes that feelings of being a fan.
Yeah.
I think he really likes it because he likes going to the game. He's always in sweet seats because of Chad Clay. You know, his buddies always had the best seats.
But that's the downside is seats. When the teams don't win, then it's not as fun. Whereas for me, like...
John drinks just as much when they win.
Whatever level
lose.
Of fun I think attending a football game is,
yeah,
it's the same level of fun whether Team A wins or Team B wins. And most people, it's like a level 10 fun if Team A wins and a level 0 fun if Team B wins. Where I'm like in that comfy middle where I'll have a 7.5 or an 8 of a time.
It balances. You
no
need
matter
all,
who
you
wins.
You need all sorts. I respect the people because you know what? A lot of people live crappy lives. Like, they hate their work. They
right.
hate their family life. They hate their personal life. And that's their escape. So that's when they get a really... They live their life through their sports teams. I respect that, too. Because I know that we're pretty lucky to do what we do for a living.
Yeah.
We're very lucky. And there's some people who their lives, they're not very happy with what they do. And that's their escape.
Yeah.
So they want to be high and low with that stuff. I respect that. That's good.
That's fine.
I got no problem. And those are the type of guys who will probably pay our bills, too. Because they're more likely to... Listen when
listen
the Texans
to this.
Lose
listen to what we're talking
or or, you know, if there's something they really want to listen to.
I'll tell you the downside on the other side of the break. I'll tell you the downside to having the mindset that I have, particularly in this town. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Lance Zierlein in for
Fred. I know what it's going to be. By the way, Blitz. Bucky Brooks said he can from NFL Network is going to join us at 4:33. We'll come back with him. He had a strongly worded tweet about why the Falcons aren't paying Julio Jones. And you and I were talking before the show about, dude, Julio's got 3 years left. You start giving in on these contracts, you're going to get rolled. It's like being a punk in prison.
Yep.
You can't just let somebody take your cornbread.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't let somebody take your pork chop because then they'll take your life.
So I would say this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, but it's not. It's the Blitz on 94.1 and hopefully the ESPN 97.5 app. But listen how you can. Sports.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Downloaded today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, no 97.5. It's just me and Lance Zierlein and 94.1 and some dudes listening on an app, which, I mean, we appreciate you riding along with us. It's all good.
App dudes.
I just...
I was listening to you yesterday, dude.
You were listening to my show?
The Darling Way. Oh, I got nervous. I get so nervous. John, you've got to just die inside every time that's on out of just fear. AJ and his Barry, too. So it almost felt like it was worse because you two are boys, so y'all know each other. And then you're like, how many different positions are you? I was like, oh, my God. This is going to go sideways.
You don't like to talk about how many positions you and your wife?
That was one position sideways.
Well, yeah.
The sideways position?
Yeah, that's the lazy man's way.
That's very difficult. That's
sideways?
What you like?
It's not hard.
Like, you like to lay down and just, like, on your shoulder? And
why not? It's an easy... Well, you can transition. There's a lot of different stuff you can do.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm listening to Beth.
Do you have a finishing move?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I have a finishing move.
It's called a stunner.
Oh, okay.
And you have a finishing move?
Yeah, I have, like, a... Like, if I feel like my wife is like, okay, let's get this over with, I know the position to move to that will end things the fastest.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
But just like I have a move where if I want this to draw out a little while, I know what position I can control things in.
I got you. I got you.
But yeah, once I get to my finishing
move. Oh, you're finishing. I got you.
Once I get to my finishing move, it's pretty much over. Like, yeah. I've got probably... 30 to 45 seconds tops.
I got you. I got you. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I did have the sense that Beth was trying to really, you know, put some stuff on you guys about, you know, trying to make you better lovers. And you guys are just out there, you know, just out there having fun. Just out there having fun when she's trying to, you know, it was serious to her. I got the sense that she was just like, well, you
Beth
really
takes
want
things
your...
very seriously.
I could tell
that I can't take seriously.
I could tell that too.
So,
matter of fact, I texted you yesterday.
Yeah,
in the midst of it.
Yeah,
I was listening when I was driving.
She was
home.
Making threats to Barry.
Honestly, I get 94.1 better than 97.5 on my way to the house.
And where do you live?
About 2 miles from here.
Yeah, they say like inside the loop or around right around here.
I get 94.1. I get 94.1 good. So you were telling me one of the downfalls.
One of the downfalls.
Downfalls to not being not even a super fan, like a big honk for the local team.
Well, of not being a fan of anybody really, because like,
could you not get behind the Astros last year?
I did.
Okay,
I did because that was it's a likable team, and this year too. They're a likable team,
very likable.
And
I find Bregman to be the most likable.
I find Bregman to be the least likable, one of the better at baseball.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman's like Chandler Parsons in a ball cap. He's.
I wrote that he was Bizarro Manziel.
That's
he was the good Manziel. Like There were some similarities, including how they look very similar when he had his sunglasses and hat backwards. But Bregman's the guy who goes to practice, who cares about hanging with the players and being a high baseball character guy. You know what I mean? Like, he did everything right. And he's an all-star and an MVP of the all-stars and a World Series champ and does a lot of clutch stuff. And then Johnny has a similar little swag pattern, if you will, but he went the other way with it.
It's like when Johnny would say, like, man, it'd be really cool to snort a bunch of bath salts today. Like, Alex Bregman would look at him and go, you can do that, bro. I'm going to go to practice. And they would go, okay, I'll see you after practice.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the day would go if they were roommates.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you should have wrote the story, as if they were roommates. And, like, one's goofus and one's gallant. And they, like... Bregman likes to eat healthy foods to prepare for his day.
Yes.
Johnny eats cookie dough from the tube.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that
would have been... Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're opposite ends of everything.
Yeah.
Of everything.
But they do have some similarities as well. What I was saying was
one guy's having milk, one guy's having a Colorado Bulldog.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My being White not Russian. A super fan of or even a fan of any teams means that I'm also not as blinded by local teams as some other people in this market are. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of listeners mad at me.
Yes.
So if I say the Texans aren't going to win the Super Bowl, or I say I think the Warriors are going to beat the Rockets, people don't like that, even though that's just like what I really feel.
It's always been that way.
It's always
been that way. Not just for you, for everybody.
But, I mean, I know there are people in this business who would rather lie and say that they think the local team is going to win because there's no way they can believe that they're going to. But, you know what I mean?
But people probably think you don't want the teams to do. I've That's actually heard
think.
That. Actually,
they do.
They think
that.
You hope that they lose,
right?
And there are hosts here who I know for a fact hope the local teams lose because they think it just makes for better radio because they get more phone calls.
No, I don't care about that. I like again, whoever wins and loses really doesn't have an effect on me unless I bet on the game. I could really care less because I know when the Rockets play the Warriors, there's a show I can do if they win. There's a show I can do if they lose. So I just basically say this is what I think is going to happen, and if it's not what the people want to hear, it's not pretty. I've been labeled as a Houston sports hater.
Yes, I've heard that.
But Jong, what did I say last year about the Astros? I'm not talking about like in the World Series. I said at the beginning of the season, what did I say?
You said the Astros are one of the favorites to win the World Series.
I said for the first time since I've lived in this city, I feel like there's a team here that can actually win a championship.
Yeah.
And God, look what happened.
They did.
They did.
And it's been great.
But because I said I don't feel like this Rockets team, I've said before, I don't think the Rockets can win a championship as long as James Harden's their best
Rockets
player.
Rockets fans get a little salty.
They don't like that.
Yeah, they get a little salty.
But the reality is, so far, I'm in the right. And even when the Texans were great, like when they were at their best, I was like, this team's not winning a Super Bowl.
11 was their best team, not 12.
Yeah.
11 was better. They had no Matt Schaub because they had T.J. Yates throwing up lobs to Ed Reed.
Didn't win a Super Bowl. So I was kind of right. It's not that I'm a hater. I just I want if I'm going to say that this team is a championship-type team, I want to see that. And, I mean, this Astros team, again, I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series. They are absolutely the kind of team that can win the World Series, though. And that's all I'm at. That's, you know, when it comes down to Astros Nationals or Astros Dodgers or whoever, Astros Cubs, I'll make that determination if I think they're going to win or not. But I'm not a Houston hater. I love this city. I love working here. I love living here. But I just don't. I'm not as emotionally attached to any of the teams as almost all of these fans. That's all.
AKA hater.
I guess so. All right, we'll be back. It's the. Are we gonna have Bucky Brooks on
Bucky
the other
Brooks
side?
In 4 minutes.
All right, we'll have him on the other side. It's the Blitz on ESPN 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Actually, A.J.'s still sitting over there, but it's Lance Zierlein in morning show. And then I just wait around a little bit, watch some prospects, and then and I said, yeah, let's do a little radio today. So I called up, I texted a buddy from the NFL Network, Bucky Brooks.
Name drop.
It is true. Bucky and I have spent a lot of time together, about 9 straight hours looking at rounds 4 through 7 every year.
Yeah, but does he call you a buddy when he talks about you?
I hope.
Or does he call you my coworker?
Now, Bucky has warmed up to me over the last few years. Bucky and I have a lot more in common, you know, but we got the Houston rap scene. Bucky respects the Houston rap scene. I feel like you do, Buck. I feel like you respect the Houston rap scene.
I'm all about the Houston rap scene. I'm down.
And then you're also
Bun B,
Bun will host on the show here from time to time, as a matter of fact. I also know that you're a big basketball fan. And you respected the job the Rockets did and what Chris Paul brought to the table this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Paul is from close to where I'm from, my hometown in Raleigh. He's about an hour and a half away. So I can respect what CP3 did.
Did you like the 4-year contract that the Rockets gave him?
I mean, I like it. It's not coming out of my pocket. I would like to be on the receiving end. I mean, I'm all about it. I mean, if someone's going to max me out, like, I want a little. I'm down H-Town. Give me a little bit.
Yeah, so it's funny you say that because I saw a tweet you had today, and AJ and I were talking about this, and I said, you know, we should get Bucky on because you had a tweet about Julio Jones, and your tweet was basically saying, well, the Falcons found all this money for Matt Ryan, and no doubt it's important because he's a quarterback, but what about the guy who makes all the plays, the top playmaker in Julio Jones? Why not take care of him? And you brought that up. And then AJ brought up, and I'll let you speak for yourself, AJ, you brought up the counterpoint to that, though.
Yeah, I think the counterpoint is that the Falcons have never extended anybody who had more than 1 year left on their contract, and Julio Jones still has 3 years left. And that's to me, that's a massive Pandora's box to open. And I understand Julio Jones is, I think, besides a quarterback, he's the most important offensive player in the league, maybe besides Gronk. Like to what his team
does.
One team. And I understand why, if Julio Jones asks for more money, the first instinct is give him more money because he's the most important. But 3 years left on a deal that isn't like a really bad deal, it just seems odd to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think here's how you have to kind of evaluate it or whatever. Like, he's 29 years old. He is obviously, I think, in other locker rooms, in their locker room, he's their best player. We can say what we want to about Matt Ryan being the league MVP. I would contend that the year that Matt Ryan won the MVP, Julio Jones really should have been the MVP on that team. He makes Matt Ryan a much better player. And I don't think the Atlanta Falcons are the same team without Julio Jones. That being said, here's the trick. If I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I can either pay him now or I can pay him later. I'm looking at Brandon Cooks get $16 million. I'm looking at Sammy Watkins get $16 million. I saw Jarvis Landry get $16 million. The longer you wait on Julio Jones, the more expensive it is. And if you're okay paying a guy $20 million to catch passes, cool. But it ain't going down. It's only going up because his production over the last 4 or 5 years warrants that he's one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the game. If I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I want to make sure that I keep my best player happy, because I would hate for him to get the Kawhi flu.
I mean, that is an option, but typically
Kawhi flu.
Without guaranteed money, typically, you know, players don't do that right. in the NFL. But the other side of that is 3 years from now, when his contract's up, he'll be 32 years old, and 32-year-old wide receivers, even really accomplished 32-year-old wide receivers, aren't going to demand the money that he was able to demand when he was 26,
well,
27.
But then it becomes about making him, because what you could do is extend it, and you could say, this contract's going to lock you down until you're about 34, in essence, 33, 34, and you could just say, this will make the guy happier, and it shows your locker room you'll take care of the very best player. I mean, that's the flip side to what you're saying, AJ, is you can say, yeah, we can wait till he's 30. He's going to be unhappy until he's 32, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. The biggest issue is I don't know how they front-loaded the last deal. At the end of the day, what happens now, The dude is bringing home $10 million. So what has happened, and look, I understand it, like, and I understand, like, people are like, man, players are always going back to the table, this and that. But I think he's in his feelings right now because he's looking over across the locker room, and he's like, Matt Ryan is a $30 million quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
$30 million. Matt Ryan knows, and I know, I make Matt Ryan really the player that he is. And so when he's doing that, and then he's looking at the landscape, and then it comes across the ticker in the lunchroom that Brandon Cooks just got $16 million, Julio Jones is like, come on now. At some point, y'all got to make it right. And so I've seen the reports where the Falcons are talking about, hey, just hang with us until after the 2018 season. We'll do the deal at that point. And maybe that is true. But I think the one thing that Julio Jones wanted to have the world know, I'm not happy with my salary. And I want you to know that I'm not happy. So at some point, we need to address it, whether it's now or later. It has to come right.
Bucky, what do you think about Le'Veon Bell then? Because, you know, you're a former player, and you also worked on the team side as an NFL scout. So how do you deal with the team? Like, you got the Steelers who have the Steeler way. You have Le'Veon Bell that's a tremendously talented running back, obviously. How do you view that from your lens? And I don't care what lens you use, the former player, the guy who worked as a scout, the guy who works on the network now. How do you – are you paying running backs that much? Are you, if you're the Steelers, you say, this is what we do. We can go find a running back. We're not worried about that. How do you work through that?
You know, so I've seen it a couple of different ways, and I'm really, really impacted by those experiences. So coming right into the league, I jump on the Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, three Hall of Fame players. Offense is the best in the league. They're going to 4 straight Super Bowls. I'm like, man, you need to take care of your best players. Your best players will always kind of get you to the winner's circle. Fast forward to when I worked for the Carolina Panthers, we were a team that really valued running back probably more than any other team in the league. We had Steven Davis. We had Deshaun Foster, paid Foster. Then we go get D'Angelo Williams, paid him. Go and get Jonathan Stewart, paid him. So I think the thing that you have to do is you got to be able to separate the player from the position, particularly when it's a guy like Le'Veon Bell. We can look at the Pittsburgh Steelers offense and we can say, you know what, we can just get any old body to do what Le'Veon Bell did. Cool. A couple years ago, D'Angelo Williams stepped in, had 900 yards. People said, see, he just did that. But those 900 yards that D'Angelo Williams got, Le'Veon Bell may get 1,400 or 1,500. He is that special. And the reason that I think you have to kind of ignore the fluff money that's been floated out, 5 years, $70 million, that's really not really what they were hoping for. Le'Veon Bell was playing on a 14.5. He's going to play on a $14.5 million franchise tag. The Pittsburgh Steelers offered him $10 million guaranteed. I'm not a mathematician, but I'm not taking less money to go and do the same job that I was going to do for more money previously. All they needed to do was guarantee the next year, which would be, if you put on the franchise tag or the transition tag, or whatever, you're looking at anywhere from $17 to $20 million. The reason they said that all they wanted were like 2 years, $30 to $34 million guaranteed is because that's what it's going to cost the Pittsburgh Steelers to do the deal anyway. I don't know if he'll be back in Pittsburgh next year, but someone's going to end up giving him about $19 to $20 million guaranteed, which would make him whole based on the way that he's played on the last two tags.
Man, when you look at what Arian Foster got when he was in his prime, when you look at what Chris Johnson got, Adrian Peterson got, I mean, it looks like the running back's starting to make a jump back up the charts financially.
Oh, it's going to happen. And Lance, it's going to blow people away. But word on the street is there's going to be a running back that signs a deal in about 2 to 3 weeks that is going to be like, oh, Le'Veon Bell wasn't so crazy.
Oh,
maybe
that
they
right?
are paying these elite offensive weapons this kind of money. Todd Gurley, David Johnson, both of those guys are up.
Ooh.
At some point, when you have a guy that kind of drives the bus, when you know that your running back is the player that really carries the offense, people are going to value that, and they're going to find a way to get the number up. I think the problem with people looking at the running back position as, oh, we can get any old guy, is because the rookie salary cap has changed the way the guaranteed money is going. And so when you got Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon Barkley and all these guys getting $20 million, $24 million, $25 million, it kind of upsets the apple cart. I think at some point we're going to see a correction, and the guys that are going to get, like, the top money are going to be the guys that not only can run it but can catch it, because when you can catch the ball out the backfield, it may allow you to age gracefully at the position as opposed to an Adrian Peterson, who was an old-school hammerhead running back that was a little more one-dimensional in his play.
I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting with both those situations of what you do with them. And I'm a believer in running backs as in general are not as valuable as, you know, receivers and things like that, because their shelf lives just seem to be shorter. And while Le'Veon Bell is really good, one of the best in the league, is he the best in the league? Can you make that argument? I don't know.
How do you impact winning?
I think so. Last year he ran for four
yards per carry. Alvin Kamara had 6.1. And he's a rookie.
Asked to do two totally different things.
He's a rookie.
Yeah, okay. No, I get that.
No. That's cool, because yards per carry is one way to do it. But how about this? How about I tell you that he has the highest scrimmage yards per game average of anybody in NFL history? Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, Billy Sims, they all are behind him. So from the time he has been in the league, he has been the best player at the position in terms of yards from scrimmage yards. And so then people are like, oh, with his yards per carry has gone down. Okay, cool, it has. But let's look at last year. He had 85 receptions. They are feeding him like there's no tomorrow. So if he is a player that we're saying is declining, we can say that. But I still believe when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, the guy that you're most worried about on that team is 26. It's not 84. It's not number 7. It's 26, because 26 does so much that you have to account for. And if you don't, he will wear you out. And then I've heard you talk about, like, well, we can just go get another running back. How many running backs are really doing it on a high level? If you're okay going from an A-level running back to a handful of Bs, that's cool. But typically what happens, the teams that are winning with backs by committee, they have A-level quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You can't have a B-level quarterback and a bunch of Cs at running back and win games in the National Football League. So of all the teams that don't have those A-level guys, and we'll say there are only a handful of A-level quarterbacks, you better invest in a top-notch running back when you have one. Otherwise, your offense is going to be stagnant, and it's not going to be good enough to win a championship.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Here's where I feel like the Steelers may have a bit of an edge is they do have a solid quarterback, although he might have a down arrow by him too. They've got arguably the best receiver in the league playing for their team. And they've already proven that they can find running backs that turn out to be really great in the second round, just like they found Le'Veon Bell in the second round.
Who's been that running back? Le'Veon Bell, but who else?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
There hasn't been another one outside of Bell. Who outside of Bell?
Well, I don't know, but the Steelers have to feel like, well, we found this guy in the second round. Why can't we find another guy in the second round?
Was Bell second?
Okay, well, yeah.
That doesn't always fly. I mean, like, we've seen, okay, so Bill O'Brien was a great quarterback guru. How long did it take them to find a quarterback?
I think that myth that Bill O'Brien is a great quarterback guru is garbage. I mean, he coached right. one guy in college that he did well with who ended up not being good.
Saying it is a lot harder to find guys to do some of those chores and responsibilities that we're talking about. And so, look, I'm not one saying, like, hey, we need to make everything about the running back. We're going back to 1980. But what I am saying, there are a handful of running backs that have special qualities in terms of they have size, they have outstanding running skills, and they have outstanding pass-catching ability that allows them to transcend the one-dimensional running backs. What we're at is we're at a place where we now have these big backs, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. So if we're going to devalue those guys who have proven, look, David Johnson is a one-man show pretty much in Arizona. Larry Fitzgerald's on his last leg. They don't have a quarterback. He's a guy that's probably capable of being a 1,000 player. Todd Gurley led everyone in terms of yards from scrimmage, was a player of the year candidate, an MVP candidate for what he did with the Rams. And everyone will tell you in that building, he is the one that makes that offense go, not Jerry Goff.
Right.
But Le'Veon Bell, I know that you can make the argument about Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, but just know this about Ben Roethlisberger. The older the quarterback gets, the more support he needs. So if you're going to remove that piece of the puzzle, you better make sure that Juju Smith-Schuster is a dude And you better make sure that Antonio Brown is doing all of the stuff off the field that's going to allow him to continue to play at a high level on the field.
And by the way, David Johnson, who you mentioned, third-round pick in the draft.
Yeah, I missed on him, you
know,
too.
LeSean McCoy, second-round pick in the draft.
I didn't see David Johnson becoming this. He was a big learning experience.
Here's what we're saying, though. So we're saying draft position is one thing. So, yeah, you can draft somebody in the second round, and that has been the sweet spot of running backs. But it's still an unknown. We still don't know what those guys are going to turn out to be. We still don't know. Look, everyone was talking about Christian McCaffrey and how great he was going to be. Christian McCaffrey was taken 8 overall. Look, he gave you production as a receiver, but I don't know if you can confidently say that he's a dominant runner. I love Alvin Kamara. I've been one of his biggest fans. But let's see if he can stand the test of time. There's one thing to be great for a year. Can you do it year after year after year after year after year? That's what the great ones do. That's what Le'Veon Bell has done. Let's see if others are able to match his production.
You surprised, before we let you go, you surprised the Texans didn't pick up that option on, or they haven't gotten a long-term deal done with Clowney?
You know what? Like, here's what I think, Lance. I think at the end of the day, I think the Texans are weighing their options between number 90 and number 99.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have to make a decision on who they're going to pay on that defensive line. Is it going to be Clowney or is it going to be J.J. Watt? J.J. Watt coming off the back and the broken leg. Does he come back and flash and play like the guy that was a three-time defensive player of the year in a four-year period? Or does Jadeveon Clowney finally put up a back-to-back season that allows you to kind of trust that he's going to be a guy that can be a franchise player? I think some of the wait and see is really due to which guy we're going to pay, because I think they can get out from J.J. Watt's deal pretty easily this year based on the amount of guaranteed money that's already been paid out.
They can, actually, this year, and I think next year they can. So, yeah, we definitely need to catch back up with you when the season catches up. Hey, I appreciate short notice coming on, Buck. Really do.
Hey, no problem.
Bucky,
thanks for having me on.
Brooks, you can follow Bucky. He's got a lot of great stuff. Really good NFL guy as well. I've learned a lot from him draft-wise. You can follow him at Bucky Brooks. He's with the NFL Network. And good stuff on Twitter. A lot of interaction he'll give you as well. You know how the Steelers are, though? They got the Steelers way, AJ.
They'll find somebody.
I got no problem with the Steelers having the Steelers way, and I got no problem with Bucky's argument. But the Steelers are going to be like, "Now we're confident in our ability to evaluate.
We'll
talent.
Find someone else.
We're going to do what we
Patriots
do.
Patriots do it not, the same way.
Same way.
With one exception.
Well, there's 12.
Yeah,
but you know, 7's been pretty good over there.
He's done some things.
It's amazing what pretty good quarterbacks can do for your personnel department, isn't it?
Yeah, and I look back to even just last year, the running backs that were drafted early versus the ones that came, like Alvin Kamara and I don't know why the guy in Kansas City's escaping me.
Oh, Kareem Hunt?
Who was better, those guys or the guys taken ahead
History
of them?
History shows you can find running backs.
You can find them. You can find them. And they don't last long enough that it's worth making massive investments in them. And I know that's unpopular opinion, but, I mean, who's the best running back the Texans ever found?
Arian Foster, undrafted.
Undrafted. Undrafted. And how much money did that save them? How much better was the team they were able to build around him when they weren't paying a running back massive money?
Yeah.
It's hard to find a quarterback on the streets like that. Running backs, there's a long line of them that didn't get drafted in the first round, didn't get massive pay extensions, and they've turned out to be all right. All right. Well, how long are we going to break for? Are we going to come back for this in this... Are we going to have a short segment on the other side?
Or long break.
Long break here. All right. Well, you guys, if you need to eat a sandwich or something, now's a good time.
Maybe 97.5 will be back.
We'll be back. It's the Blitz.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.